Hello, awesome people. Welcome to Embrace the Pivot. I'm Dr. C. Robinson, your host for the show. Join me as we discover what pivoting actually means and how you can embrace your pivot during life's transition. Happy Wednesday, everyone. Welcome back. How is everyone doing? Feel free to drop me a line at robinson@embracethepivot.org. I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions about pivoting or just career development or leadership development in general. I would love to help you work through it. Again, you can reach me at robinson@embracethepivot.org. No one ever said that pivoting was going to be easy, but pivoting is definitely 100% worth it. Personally, right now, currently, I am facing a career pivot, and I am using all the advice that I share with you on this podcast and all the advice I share through my column to help me get to the other side. And this particular career pivot is challenging. It is testing me, testing my strength, my persistence, perseverance, resilience, E, all the above. I know that this career pivot is worth it. And once everything is done, I am going to share what that is. But for right now, just know that if you are pivoting and if you are doubting yourself, I am right there with you. I am pivoting, not knowing the future. No one knows the future. But not knowing what's going to happen and was this the right decision? But what I am pivoting towards is so much bigger than myself and so much more than I could have ever imagined. And I don't want to sit here 10 years from now saying, what if I did X? What if this really happened? And I'm going for it. I am trying it. I am excited, nervous, so proud of myself. I am all the emotions that you could possibly think of. That is how I'm feeling right now. I just know that taking it one step at a time, not even one day at a time, one step at a time, because when you can set small achievable goals and accomplish them, you are eventually going to accomplish the bigger goal that you set out for yourself. And that's what I keep reminding myself of, just one step at a time. I use Post-its on my iPad. It's the Post-it app. I love it. I just write down my goals and then I am able to delete them. It's a great system for me. Whatever works for you, make sure that you are setting those small attainable goals. And just the act alone of either crinkling up paper or hitting delete on an iPad or crossing it off of a list, mentally, it actually puts you in a better spot because you feel accomplished. And that's the whole goal. That's what you want. And with pivoting, you just have to go for it. When there is an opportunity presented to you, don't pass that up, because the worst thing that you could do is at the end of your life go, oh, I really wonder, what if I did this? No, never have a what if moment. Go for it. And that's what I am doing. Day by day, I'm crossing off my to-do list, everything I have to get done. And even if it doesn't work out, I know in my heart that I gave it 100%, gave it my all, and I tried. And honestly, that's the best that I could do right now is try. And if I succeed, fantastic, all right? Obviously, that's the goal. But if I don't succeed, I don't see it as a failure. It is a lesson learned for the next thing I'm going to pivot to. And just keep in mind, there are three types of pivots. There is your mindset, personal, and career. And I'll just share this with you. The pivot that I am currently experiencing encompasses all three. And the first one that I've been really working on is pivoting my mindset. With that, I would like to introduce you to today's guest, Rachel Brenke. She is a business strategist and intellectual property attorney. She helps service providers grow profitable and legally protected businesses that allow them to live more and work less. Everyone, please welcome Rachel.
Well, thanks for having me. This is one of my favorite topics. I love what you're doing and I appreciate you thinking of me.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite topics too. So thank you. Let's talk about your background. I know that you have 5 children, so you're running an organization with all these kids, and your husband is a disabled veteran, and you are an Olympian, correct? Or a runner?
Team USA athlete. Yes. So I made Olympics, done world championships. I know. It's like in the community, I have to clarify that, but yeah.
So take me through your background and how you started your organization.
Yeah. So like you said, I have the at-home organization, the 5 that I have reproduced on my own, but I also have multiple businesses. You know, it's been 15, 16 years in the making. It started with an online apparel store, a cancer diagnosis, knowing that I didn't want to pad the pockets of other people. Yeah. I was at the tender age of 20, got diagnosed with cancer. But it was kind of the little push I needed. I never really thought I fit into the 9-to-5. And in my process of entrepreneurship, trying different things, I still tried to do the corporate work, worked for the Attorney General's office. They were wonderful people. Just the 9-to-5 thing wasn't for me. And I really wanted to serve myself, be present for my family, and to serve others. And so I moved into different industries, business consulting firm. You know, I now have a law firm, multiple online businesses. I speak, write books, and that sort of thing, but not all at one time, right? You know, this has been a thing in the making and I can't balance it all the time. But I think that's one of the beauties of entrepreneurship and really what my journey from, you know, that online apparel store, barely making like $300 a month, waiting tables in the evening to now. I mean, we were running reports yesterday with my team and we went up 80% even during pandemic on all of our businesses. Yeah. So I say that humbly in that that also shows that I'm helping to serve other people, particularly women during pandemic so that they can thrive and not just survive during this time.
Yeah. And you serve women across 50 countries, correct?
Yeah. So I work obviously as a United States-based attorney, my legal services are really tied to the United States, but on the business consulting side, working with, you know, legal, business strategy and marketing, I work internationally. You know, I've had phone calls at midnight because it's noon on the other side of the world. And that's incredible, you know, and I just love being able that I've created and designed a business that does this so that I can also help others, particularly women. I work with men too, but particularly women that can also have the same thing that I was seeking and what I really realized I wanted back when I was diagnosed with cancer, which obviously I'm good now.
What was that moment like for you when you were diagnosed and how were you able to keep a positive mindset while going through that journey?
Yeah. So it's interesting is at the time, you know, we just had our first child who is like 300 feet taller than me now, but we had just had our first child and my husband was in and out deployed with the Army. This, cause that was 20. So we were in the throes of the Iraq war and he didn't get to come home for the cancer treatments and, you know, the Army didn't allow him. That's a whole nother thing. But for me, it was the silver lining is that it was a push. You know, it was very difficult. I remember sitting there when I got the phone call of the diagnosis. For me, it wasn't like on the TV where they call you in, they put a Kleenex thing on the table and they hold your hand and tell you have cancer. It was an Army hospital. Something got lost in the shuffle. And all of a sudden they're calling and saying, hey, it's cancerous. Got to get it taken out. And I'm like, what? What's going on? But I do remember that moment with my little flip phone sitting on the floor, watching my son, only one at that time, and thinking to myself that if I get through this, I don't want to pad the pockets of other people. I don't want to be away from my kids. And as I've already shared, it wasn't a straight trajectory. It wasn't like I was like, okay, that's what I want. And I never deviated from that. You know, I still struggled after that with this whole corporate push, you know, the whole societal construct that you're supposed to go work a 9-to-5. And obviously I tried at Attorney General's office and a couple other things, but I keep even now as I'm talking to you, I go back to that feeling that I had of this is what I want for my life and I want others to have it too. And I've just gone all in with that. You know, it's not been perfect. It's not been straight. But yeah, so, you know, it sounds all nice and fun. Great. Cancer was such a pivotal moment. It was dark. It was hard at times. But I think the biggest thing for me is I kept that feeling. I kept that thought. And I said, you know, if I get through this, which I am going to, then this is what I'm going to do. And that's where I'm at.
How did working for the Attorney General's office help lay that foundation for when you started your own company?
I don't know if it did, except for shining a light on the quality of life that I wanted to have. I mean, I learned wonderful things there. I'm still in contact with the wonderful people that I worked with. It was an incredible experience. It just really made me realize I didn't want to stay in the corporate structure. And so, because I live right outside of DC still, I was going into DC. It was taking me like an hour and a half each way. I was coming home, not seeing my son at all. And it was just a reinforcement of that feeling of, this is wrong. It's a wonderful, prestigious position, but this is wrong for what I'm supposed to be doing and what I want to do for myself and my family.
What was that first step for you to start creating the lifestyle that you envisioned?
Well, you're all about pivoting, and it has been going into an entrepreneurship piece, right? There's so many pieces in my journey. So whether it was the online apparel store, running a photography studio, whatever it was going in with the mindset of I'm going to do what I can to make this work. But if it doesn't, it's okay to pivot. And that has been the name of the game. And I feel like that foundation was laid even back when I was a military dependent, because my dad was in the military for 24 years, and then the cancer, and then my husband in and out, and then obviously him becoming disabled and getting out of the military. Entrepreneurship is the exact same thing. It's embracing the mentality of I'm going to strategically go all in. I'm going to readjust what I need to do. But if I need to pivot, I need to pivot. I mean, I have failed businesses that they're no more. And I just learn from them. And I've even now, like when we're launching new things, I always go back and pull myself out of necessarily what I, you know, want to do. And I think about, okay, what did I do that didn't work so I can pivot and change it now?
People get caught up on failure and how it's so negative. How did you develop that mindset to say it's not a failure, lesson learned, and then for my next venture, I'm going to do it differently?
So the ultimate failure, well, the two ultimate failures for me are, one, not even trying. Right? You're the ultimate rejecter of what you want to do when we qualify ourselves out for something and didn't even try. And two, if I didn't try to do it, I wouldn't know if it'd be a success or not. I mean, look at the brands that I have now. I had, oh my goodness, you know, I'm so glad you asked this question. I was just taken back to a moment. I was at a cocktail party, networking, and my lawyer friends were like, hey, can we send you clients? Because they didn't understand the online brands and all of that. And in their mind, it was a failure that I wasn't succeeding as an attorney, that I had given up the Attorney General's office. And they're like, can we send you clients? And I said, no, can I send you them? Because I have like a 9-month wait list, you know? And they thought I was joking. But it's true. Like if I had listened to that sort of stuff, stayed in the construct of what society tells me we need to do, especially being in like a very conventional, you know, old school profession, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. So for me, you hear the phrase fail forward and all of that. And it's not to say it's not scary. It's not to say that it's not frustrating. But if you don't, if you tell yourself not to do it, or you listen to others, then you're failing before you even try.
100% agree. 100%. My whole thing is I would rather know than say what if.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to understand it's not failure. It's lesson learned. Mm-hmm. But I just kept going. It's okay. This doesn't work. You go to something else until that missing puzzle piece comes into play. So congratulations on all of that. All right, talk to me about Team USA. Where in your schedule were you able to fit in Team USA?
Yeah, so I had been a swimmer in college, and then when I got into entrepreneurship, having babies and cancer and all that, I really got derailed in the whole fitness thing. And even in my first years of business, we mentioned that it's not been a straight trajectory, and it's been the same in my whole balance of everything. And I really, in the beginning, had convinced myself that business was for me, and it was self-care, and it was just mine. And as your business grows and as you gain people on your team, it's not really just yours anymore. And you really have to look to have something for yourself. And so I ended up getting on a weight loss journey that included getting into triathlons and running. And that's how I ended up, being a swimmer. I learned how to cycle. I'm not good at running, but I try. And so for me now, I schedule it. Normally it's the very first thing I do in the morning. I have specific days that I do recordings. I batch process a lot of things, and that is really guarded time for me. So my training comes first in those days after my kids, right? I visualize my time and my life every year like glass vase, and I have these big rocks, and I put family for one, self for one, fitness for another, mental health for another, maybe the goals and dreams that our family wants to do. That goes in the vase first. And then I pour in all the sand. The sand is the obligations of business, of all these other things that I need or want to do, but they're not necessarily priorities. And if you do that in the inverse, so you visualize the vase, if you pour the sand in first, you put all your business first, you put everyone else first, you're not going to be able to fit the rocks in. They're not going to fit into the vase. And so that's how I visualize it. And that's exactly how my calendar works out too. It's not perfect.
I love that.
Where I've been running on the treadmill at 10 o'clock at night, sometimes it just is what it is, but it's pivoting and being flexible. And if it's something that is really important to you, make it a rock.
Yeah, I love that visualization. That's incredible. You're going to make me think later today.
And they change. And that's what the beauty is of us doing this. As, during pandemic, there's no races on the schedule. And so there's no qualifiers. So I, like many other people, are lacking in motivation for anything anyways. My rocks have shifted a little bit. I'm still active, but not to the extent of when I'm full on training. And that's the beauty. I get to make the choice to do that. And you also have to just look around you and not be inflexible to the circumstances, because every chapter is different.
Yeah, 100%. So how did you pivot your business? Oh. Yeah. And then how did you help your clients pivot?
It's funny because this is I love that you asked this on the heels of inflexibility. It's like we completely planned that, right? Because going into 2020, I, as a business consultant, I'm an MBA. It was like, okay, I have to have this all scheduled out. Well, in February, we started getting the whole, wait, this might go down. And then in March, the whole world stopped. And for me, it was one of those moments. I brought the team together. We're all virtual, so online. And I said, we have to pivot. We have to change. We have to scrap all the last 6 months of work that we've been doing. Scrap it, meaning put it aside for now. And we have to look and see what it is. How can we truly serve the audience? Because if we had kept pushing the things that we wanted to put out there, that's not what the audience was looking for and needed at the time. And so we rushed to create a whole bunch of new products, new content. And the good thing for me, being kind of in the legal and business industry, it wasn't like a complete 180. It just was more about repackaging and doing little add-ons to really serve the clients. Because one of the biggest things that we saw as serving entrepreneurs in different industries, they all were completely blindsided by a pandemic. They then realized all the cracks and holes in their business. And so we shifted from normally we talk about this proactive approach. We shifted to how can we help you on the reactive, because pandemic had hit at that point. We couldn't go back and be proactive.
Right, right.
And as we've been transitioning, I've been transitioning my languaging from, all right, let's clean up the mess that you, because you didn't listen to me before pandemic. So can I say it nicely and with love, but you're here now, we're reacting. So let's clean up the reactiveness mess that we have to do. And let's also look forward, because one day we're going to get out of this. And so that's how we tangibly kind of adjusted our mentality and the offerings to our audience. And same thing for clients, it's helping them shift their mindset. It's very easy with pandemic right now, especially because it's been dragging on for so long, to feel like it's never going to end. And I am just encouraging my clients. I'm like, okay, we've cleaned up the reactivity mess. You've learned your lesson. And now let's start looking forward to how are you going to, because you're going to have to pivot again. We're all going to have to pivot again when this gets, when pandemic ends, but be prepared for it. Because if you just sit here thinking, oh, well, I'll just wait till it ends, you're behind the game. You're behind the curve on that. You're going to be rushing to create, you know, content or serving or whatever it is. You've got to have that waiting in the wing.
So this week, I actually read an article regarding how women are leaving the workforce due to the pandemic. Like, so many women are leaving in droves. And what are your thoughts on that? And do you think this is a step back for us?
It's heartbreaking. It definitely is heartbreaking. You know, I have talked to a lot of women and many are coming to me because they're like, my job is gone. I have to quit to be home with my kids. How can I have what you have, Rachel? And I think this is, before I answer your question, I think this is a good time for me to clarify that when I'm talking up, oh, we, you know, 80% up last year and we did this, we did that. We had already been laying the foundation for 10, 15 years at that point. So I was seeing the dividends of the hard work. But to answer your question, and I'm not unsympathetic. Like, I completely get, but I feel like cancer and all that was kind of my own little pandemic, right? That was my little push that I had to have while it was my own choice, I wasn't physically pushed out of career. The draw to be my own boss and to do my own thing was there. And so I see similarities between that and the pandemic. As far as what's going on with pandemic, I'm seeing two major things. It's one, the women that are pushed, well, three. One, women are pushed out of the workforce because jobs are lost, the careers are gone. Two, they're having to leave because they have childcare or obligations or family members that they have to take care of at home. Or three, we're finding so many that were already entrepreneurs who have been greatly impacted from this home life burden that they're having to, and I say burden, I mean, we all know, we love our families, we love our kids and all of that, but it can be feel very heavy some days. And for me, and I say this tentatively, it's almost a silver lining. It's not to dismiss the hardships that people are going through, financial, physical, emotional, all of that at all. But this is one of those make or break times. Women are freaking resilient. I mean, come on, look at, we, childbirth.
Yep.
Men, like, right, we're resilient. And so I am, and again, I say this tentatively, I'm encouraged in a way that pandemic is pushing some people who have always had this idea of wanting to do something for themselves and build something of themselves. It has thrust them into that. It has been their cancer moment, like mine, right? And it still sucks. It's hard work. It doesn't mean that they're going to just exit the workforce and they're going to come and have like this brand. There's still a lot of hard work, but oftentimes we won't make a decision to do something for ourselves, especially as women. And business can be for us, and it's something that we want to own. So I think pandemic is starting to help shed the light on that and push people, but it's also shedding the light on how much those that stay in 9-to-5 careers, I don't knock that at all. It's just not for me. I have no wonderful, many women that do it, love it, and thrive in it, but pandemic is now also shining a light on the burdens that they do at home. Things that we've always known about, but now it's on front page news. Now it's really being highlighted.
Yeah.
So my hope, whether you're an entrepreneur or you're staying in a career, you know, 9-to-5 corporate style profession, is that going forward, coming out of pandemic, we'll have more understanding from counterparts, especially male counterparts. We'll have more support through services and so forth, more flexibility, more quality of life, which as an entrepreneur, we seek to create. And if you're working in a career workforce, you're within the confines of someone else's construct. I hope that that construct starts loosening up. So I know this is a bit more than what you asked, but I see all this intertwined that yes, it is hurting us in the short term. There's a lot of mental, emotional, and physical burdens that are being held from this. But I think that women are resilient. We're made for this kind of stuff. And as long as we look to each other, we keep the conversation in the national spotlight and all these things I just mentioned come into play, I feel like we are looking to a better future, whether it's entrepreneur or in a career profession.
What is on the horizon for you?
Well, hopefully pandemic will be ending soon, because I would love to get back to training in Team USA. Yeah, I right now I'm going through a little mindset shift. You know, I always speak to others that if you want to get to the next level, you have to make next level decisions. And so I'm pushing through my own fears and unknown. You know, I feel like myself has been in this semi-purgatory for the last year because of pandemic. And, you know, speaking engagements, traveling, Team USA, all this has been put on hold. Well, I'm too restless for that. Like, I'm done. Like, I'm just going to start having it ready. So as soon as we're open, we're ready to roll. So that's for me is really having a conversation like this, encouraging women to champion themselves, champion others, you know, make the best and create something out of what pandemic has given us. And I'm doing the same. So I'm just, yeah, I'm really trying to get onto things like this to encourage others because I get it. I mean, it's super easy. We've been doing this for so long now in pandemic. It's discouraging. I freaking hate virtual learning from home, even though I love having my kids here. But it's the mindset. It's the mindset thing that we really have to inspire. So that's what I'm trying to do and getting on things like this to encourage others.
If someone came to you stating that they were about to pivot in their career, what would be three essential steps you would share to help make that pivot successful?
I mean, a lot of the failure conversation that we talked about earlier and how the trajectory is not going to be clean and clear and it's okay to fail as long as you adjust the sails of the ship in the pivot. Also making sure that you've really put forward a good plan of how you're going to become that go-to in that pivot, right? Because you're changing the conversation from doing one thing that people know you for to all of a sudden something new. So what does your content runway look like there? How are you going to explain the pivot? How are you going to maybe convert your audience or your consumers from who you've been serving? So you might be serving someone completely different now. And then that's a big one that I think in pivoting that people forget that when we have already created consistency and familiarity in like our brand and our businesses, and all of a sudden we do something else and there's no sales, there's no clients, nothing coming in, it's because the audience is confused. Just keep in mind, like when you're pivoting, give yourself the runway to get that boulder going. Because then it'll keep rolling afterwards. You want a third thing on that to throw in is keep your ego in check. You know, I found myself being very humbled in this pivot, being impatient and humbled in that there was an ego element that I apparently had put in and it was shrouding my decisions because I was thinking, well, I've built this brand. If I pivot, people will just come with me because they like me. And that's not always the case. Liking only goes so far. You still have to be speaking to the right people and having the right solution.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. And where can my listeners find you on social media?
Oh, all the places. I am the only Rachel Branke, but I really sit a lot on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of Embrace the Pivot. Remember, take it one step at a time. And if you feel overwhelmed by the goals that you've set for yourself, first focus on pivoting your mindset in order to operate on all cylinders, in order to understand that all it takes is one tiny change in your thinking and in your habits in order to reach that goal. Until next week, have a wonderful day. You can follow me, Dr. C, on Instagram at embracethepivot. I hope all of you embrace your pivot.